we really want to know God, Amen. See God, Amen. And gain God.
Amen.
So I hope all of us here are thoroughly emptied from our previous knowledge and concepts, so that we may really gain God during this college training.
Amen.
So that we may really know our God, whom we love, worship, and serve.
Amen.
So that we may all of us genuinely have personal experience God during this college training.
Amen.
So having such an expectation, so we come to the first message, exercising the Spirit to call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Some of you might think that, oh, I know this. This is basic stuff. I have been doing this for many years. I know how to do this. This is something basic, something easy, maybe something not exciting, since I have been doing this for many, many years. But usually in our spiritual life, on one hand, we struggle when certain situations come to us. But we also struggle in our normal daily life, although nothing special happened. Why is it so? It's because we didn't take care of that something basic. It's because we have been doing this something basic, yet really crucial. We have been doing it as a routine. We haven't really exercised our spirit to call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So this is a basic, yet crucial step to experience knowing, seeing, and gaining God. And calling on the name of the Lord saves us from the age of godlessness.
Amen.
So having this view, let's come to the outline.
Amen.
How about we all read Roman numeral 1 together? It's actually purely from Genesis 4:26. Let's read it together.
And to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, man began to call upon the name of Jehovah.
Okay, how about brothers read point A and sisters B?
Seth called his son's name Enosh,
meaning frail mortal man, because men realized that
their life was vanity and that they were frail and mortal. They spontaneously began to call upon the name of Jehovah, the Eternal One.
Amen. Sisters? Amen. Okay, so for the background of Genesis 4, Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And then Eve gave a birth to Cain and Abel. So they are two blood brothers. And then both of them offered an offering to God. But God only accepted Abel's offering, not Cain's offering. So Cain became very angry and eventually killed his brother Abel. And eventually God exposed what Cain did. And then Cain got exposed, and Cain had to live where he used to live. And the Bible says Cain left God's presence. And after that, Cain constructed a city for his protection and self-existence. Why? He left God's presence. Wherever he goes, there's no God. He felt fear. He felt fear. He was in fear. He needed something that can protect him. That's why he produced a culture without God. So here we see man's loss of God forced man to invent human culture during that time, such as cattle raising, music, and weapon. You know, even though culture seems good and necessary, the most important thing is there was no God.
Yeah. Yeah.
People already realized that there was no God in the midst of their human living, although they were enjoying their human culture. It's not something encouraging, you know. We just came to the first four chapters of the Bible, and the people already realized that their human life was vanity. And in this condition, Seth, Adam and Eve's third son, called his son's name Enosh. And as point A says, Enosh means frail, mortal man, because men realized their life was vanity and that they were frail and mortal. You know, this is not just the condition happening at the Genesis 4. This is actually the condition of these days. We are actually surrounded by so many different cultures, probably more culture than in Genesis 4. And although it seems there are so many entertaining things around us in the world, deep within us, we all know that all these things eventually cannot satisfy us. The world is full of just entertainments, but there is no God. There is no God in all these cultures. This is the age of godlessness. And even some people in the world, I'm talking about non-believers, they can sense that their life is already in vanity. But praise the Lord, we have the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord, we can call on His name.
Amen.
We can call on the Lord, right. Jehovah, the Eternal One. And as the point B says, the Old Testament people in Genesis chapter 4, although they were vain and weak, by calling on the name of the Lord, they were made rich and strong.
Amen.
For they entered into the riches and strength of the one whom they called.
Amen.
And this can be our experience too. When we call on the name of the Lord, we enter into the riches of Jesus Christ. How about we open up our Bible? Romans 10, 12 to 13. Romans 10, 12 and 13. How about we read? Do you all have it? How about we all read these two verses together by exercising our spirit? Amen. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all and rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Calling on the name of the Lord is not just an outward practice. We enter into riches of Christ. We become so rich. You know, the riches of Christ is what Christ to us. What Christ is to us. Such as light, life, righteousness, and holiness. And what He has for us, and what He accomplished, attained, and obtained for us. And these riches of Christ are unsearchable and untraceable. So knowing this, we really need to know that when we call on the name of the Lord, we partake of all these riches.
Amen.
We should not just call on the name of the Lord because our serving ones force us to do so. Or maybe it's because we are in the church life. Probably I feel like I have to do this, but we are actually tasting all these riches. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's move on to Roman numeral 2. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? How about brothers read point A and sisters B, all together C. The Hebrew word for call means out to, cry unto, that is to cry out. The Greek word for call means to invoke a person, to call a person by name. The name. Amen. To call on the Lord means cry to Him and to experience spiritual breathing. So some Christians think that calling on the Lord is just praying to Him. Or we just pray to Lord Jesus by calling on His name. That is true. That is true. But to call on the name of the Lord is more than just praying.
Right.
Simply, we are calling on the name of the Lord so that we may get His attention.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus is the living person. You know, when we call someone around you by calling that person's name, we get that people's attention, that person's attention. Likewise, the Lord Jesus also pays attention to our calling. And calling on the name of the Lord is not just invented by some people in the Old Testament or New Testament or some spiritual people. We already saw the case of Enosh in chapter 4 of Genesis. And many believers also called on the name of the Lord. And even in the book of Acts, the New Testament believers, they also began to call on the name of the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he used to be Saul, he used to persecute Christians. Do you know how he found out the Christians? He was just, you know, walking on the street. Some people, they were calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, Christians. Persecution. So we see that even this calling on the name of the Lord is not invented by some people. It was so normal, so practical, so personal, and so intimate. You know, you don't call your best friends, you don't call your best names, best friends' names, and then you just hope to have an intimate relationship with that person. That's impossible. Likewise, you know, sometimes we just go through difficult situations and then, oh, God is God of Almighty. He knows my situation. And then you're just like this. Where he needs our attention. And we also need his attention too. So we need to call on his name. Amen. So that we can get an attention from that living person. Amen. That also means we cry to him and we experience spiritual breathing. So on one hand, we simply call his name in a normal way. But on the other hand, we cry out his name. Well, that does not mean we always shout 24/7 to get his attention. But it is calling on his name genuinely from deep within our being so that we invoke this living person's attention. And Lamentations 355-56 is a great example. I'll just read these verses. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon.
Amen.
Thou hast heard my voice.
Amen.
Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry.
Amen.
So these two verses indicate that calling is also crying and breathing. You know, whenever you cry out, you breathe spontaneously and deeply. You know, I'm not sure whether they are doing this, still in these days. When a new baby was born, the doctors, you know, gently hit the baby's hips, not just making the babies crying, but so that the babies may begin breathing. Breathing. Crying out is breathing. And by crying and breathing, we both exhale and inhale. By exhaling, we breathe out all the negative things, all our anxieties, worries, distress, and troubles. We just exhale.
Amen.
And whenever you breathe out the negative things, the positive things of the Lord will fill us up.
Amen.
He fills us up by giving us himself.
Amen.
He dispenses himself into us as the Spirit.
Amen.
I enjoyed three verses from the book of John. John 3:34 says, He gives the Spirit not by measure. And 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life.
Amen.
And 10:10, Jesus has come that we may have life and we may have it abundantly.
Amen.
So we call on the name of the Lord. We exhale all our negative things. And Jesus Christ fills us up. The Spirit. The life. We are filled with the life. We get enlivened. You know, for those of you who are from Vancouver area, some of you know that I do a lot of commuting. So I do a lot of driving. On average, 80 or 90 kilometers per day. It's like 55 miles per day in the States. So sometimes driving is boring. No, always boring, sorry. Especially when you're driving by yourself. It's boring. Of course, I listen to the messages, listen to hymns. But sometimes, you know, my mind goes everywhere, thinking about so many things, upcoming things, certain situations. On one hand, thinking is good, but when I think too much about all these things, I become more complicated. But I just turn to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, even right now, I cry out. Amen. What about all these things? I don't even think about all these solutions. But I just want to get your attention. I want to get the living person. Amen. Whenever I do that, quitting from all this thinking, I get life and peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. His name is so available.
Amen.
Okay, let's read Roman numeral 3. Why do we need to call on the name of the Lord? Okay, let's read these points. Brothers and sisters, alternate. Brothers, let's read point A. We need to call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved. Sisters?
We need to call on the Lord.
We need to call on the Lord to partake of the Lord's salvation.
We need to call on the Lord to receive the Spirit.
Amen.
We need to call on the Lord to drink the spiritual water and to eat the spiritual food for our satisfaction.
We need to call on the Lord to enjoy the riches of the Lord.
Amen.
We need to call on the Lord to stir up ourselves to lay hold of Him. So by calling on the name of the Lord, we can be saved much more, rescued from all our distress and trouble, and we receive the Spirit and enjoy the riches of the Lord. You know, I think our problem is hearing and knowing all about these things. As I mentioned earlier, we tend to do these things at a certain point. We just do it as a routine. But I really hope all of us have this point of view, so that we may genuinely call upon His name instead of just staying in your mind, murmuring and reasoning. Actually, let's practice this right now. How about we all stand up? Don't think about people around you. Don't think about, you know, all your situations. This is not just an outward practice. Let's touch this living person by exercising our spirit.
Amen.
How about we genuinely call on the name of the Lord? Oh, Lord Jesus, 5 times. Don't think about other people. Let's do this. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Okay, now we're on Roman numeral 4. Let's see if you all can remember one of our verses, Hebrews 11:6. Ready? But without faith,
it is impossible to be well-pleasing to Him. For he who comes forward to God must believe that He is.
Amen.
And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Amen. Okay, Hebrews 11:6 is related to how we should call on the Lord. In Hebrews 11:6, it says that you cannot please God without faith. But faith is not something that man has of himself. Faith is not something that man can generate. So that leaves us in a predicament, because if we can't please God without it, how do we please God if we don't have it? Well, in the verse, there is something that a man can diligently do, which is seek Him. You cannot stir up faith, but you can seek God.
Amen.
So calling on the name of the Lord is seeking God.
Amen.
If you seek God by calling on the Lord diligently, He will impart faith into you.
Amen.
And then you will be well-pleasing to God. Diligently seeking Him by calling on His name means that we need to have our spirit engaged. And in this line of fellowship, to have your spirit engaged is to exercise your spirit. But the goal of exercising the Spirit in this line is what? To enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
We don't want to exercise our spirit a lot and then not enjoy the Lord. That would be exhausting. And you would not be well-pleasing to God. Okay? That's why we need to talk about how to call on the name of the Lord. As our brother showed us, calling on the name of the Lord is something scriptural. It's something that man figured out how to do. And man would do it. And so at that dispensational time when Enosh started to call, that was not an old habit. That was new. That was like a new invention. And then in the book of Acts, when the church began, it became new all over again because they were calling on Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus means Jehovah, our salvation.
Amen.
Just imagine if we could take ourselves back to the beginning of the church. That's where we all came from. We're only sitting here today because the church began in the book of Acts. And it was in Jerusalem, and it was a bunch of people raised in the Jewish religion and in the Jewish culture. And everybody knew about this guy named Jesus that the Roman government had just crucified. And they laid him in the tomb. And all of a sudden, there comes this report that he's been resurrected. And then there's his disciples. They're standing up preaching in the gospel. And Peter is saying, repent and believe and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And they've never heard of that before. If we went back there, we'd be like, I knew about that since I was a kid. Right? So they didn't need to hear about exercising the Spirit to call on the Lord. They did it spontaneously because they didn't know how to do it without their spirit, because they had just gotten saved from thousands of years of culture and religion by a guy who just got resurrected and came into them in this, as the Spirit. And when they called on him, they had this amazing sensation that they were with him and he was with them. And so they were all just calling on the Lord all the time. That's what made Saul's job so easy. They were crazy callers. And that's where you all came from. That's your history. That's your heritage. And so then if we could bring them from that time to here, they might ask, what is wrong with these Christians? Like, why do they call on the Lord in such a half-hearted way? Don't they know that he's resurrected? Don't they know that he's like living inside of them right now? This was so fresh and new to them. So because we have it as a teaching and because we have it as a practice, what we need today is to learn how we should do it. So I appreciate this Roman numeral. How should we call? And remember, Hebrews 11:6, diligently, diligently.
Amen.
Some of you apply yourselves so diligently to school. And I have fellowship with some brothers in my place. If you would just apply that diligence to touching the Lord, he would be real to you. Your pursuit of the Lord isn't close to your diligence related to your schoolwork. And if you're not that diligent in school, you probably have some other pursuits that you're very diligent about. Maybe it's keeping up with the NBA or something, you know. You just don't slack off related to some things. And because of that, you get the reward. But we tend to not be so diligent when it comes to seeking the Lord. And so what I hope that we'll see is our diligence is also our genuineness, because our spirit is our most genuine part. So when you do something with your spirit, you have to mean it. You must mean it. So if you say amen, you should mean amen.
Amen.
You shouldn't just say amen because there was the right amount of syllables prayed and now there's a pause and you automatically say amen. That means you don't mean it. You didn't do it with your spirit. Your spirit is your most genuine part.
Amen.
Everything you do that's spiritual should be real.
Amen.
This is very important to me because it totally goes against who I am. I'm not the kind of person who wants to come into a crowd and do what the crowd is doing. I, by my old stinking disposition, I'm just not a follower. And so if you're all doing it, my natural tendency is to not do it. So what I learned to do is I gotta really mean it. If I'm going to do what they're doing, I'm going to mean it the most.
Amen.
And you know what I found out? whoa, I got into my spirit. I found my spirit is just excellent. My spirit saves me from all my problems. If I would just touch the Lord. So this also is called having a pure heart, according to 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, call on the Lord with those who call out of a pure heart. So to be pure in heart, the opposite of purity is mixture. So purity isn't really related to how good you are. It's related to how single you are, how singular you are. So the more things you have in your heart, the less pure you are. But the least amount of things that you have, the more pure you are. That's like, you know, when it's something's pure, it says 100%, right? So if you get some drink, it sometimes they'll say 10% juice. That means it's not pure. It may taste really good, but it's not pure. So when we call on the Lord, that means the only thing that should be in our heart is to touch the Lord. Right? That's what it means to call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So A says we must call on Him out of a pure heart. Our heart, which is the source, must be pure, seeking nothing but the Lord Himself.
Amen.
Okay, so an example that I love is our brother said, calling is more than praying. So here's an example. If your house were on fire, you may come to someone and say, dear sir, my house is on fire and I seem to be short of water. Could you lend me some water? This is a way of praying. You may have had morning revival and you said, oh, Lord Jesus, I really want to touch you today. Enliven me, Lord. I seem to be short on life. Could you lend me some life? Okay. Well, actually, if you were pure in this matter, if your house were on fire, you would say, fire! Fire! Help me! See, this goes completely against my disposition because I'm an extreme introvert. So, actually, if my house were on fire, I probably wouldn't say anything. I would go, in my mind, I would go, oh no, it's on fire. What do I need to do? I'm telling you, this is what happens. I just wouldn't have that kind of, it just wouldn't happen to me because I'm not that kind of person. But I've been regenerated and crucified with Christ. And my old man, the old I, died with Him. And the new I is quite different than the old I. The new I, when I come to be with the saints, I can scream fire, fire. I can get my inner man out. But it took a lot of learning and a lot of practice. Okay, I had to learn how to be genuine. And some of us, because we've done these things as outward practices for a long time, they are not genuine. The amens are not genuine. The praise the Lords are not genuine. You have got to mean it.
Amen.
Or don't say it. Even in the Old Testament, they offered offerings to Jehovah. And He said, I hate your offerings because your lips say things to me, but your hearts are far away. God looks into our heart. He's not just looking at our outward appearance. He's looking into our heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't change your heart. That's why you have to be genuine. You have to be real. So when you're having your morning time with the Lord, just be real. Just be genuine. Okay? He likes that because He already knows what's in there.
Yeah.
He's not fooled. Okay. So B says, we need to open our mouth wide to call on the Lord.
Amen.
That's Psalm 81:10. It says, open your mouth wide. I read this account that I loved of this this minister of the Lord. And he was respected, and one of the people was giving account of the way that he studied the Word, because there was another younger minister who was hoping to become somebody who could minister like this older one. And he said, I remember how he used to take a verse like Psalm 81:10, and he would pray, oh Lord, wide, wide. And he said, he would pray that word until we had the sense that it penetrated every fiber of his being. And then he would minister on the word. So we're going to have a message on musing on the word by exercising our spirit. So we just have to get to the point where we penetrate.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So then C says, we should call daily and hourly. Psalm 88:9 says, it uses daily, called daily. Okay, so all of this could also be summarized by another one of our verses. What's Mark 12:30? Remember it? With your heart and from your whole soul and from your whole mind and from your whole strength. That is pure. Okay? So when you call on the Lord, it should occupy your whole soul. That means you need to call until there's nothing left in your soul. Call until there's nothing left in your mind. Call until there's nothing left in your heart. That's the order, heart, mind. Call until there's no strength left, your whole strength. So you can't do this like all the time. We'd have to lock you up. But you could do it in the meetings. You know, you can do it in your private room. You know, you can do it. And I encourage you to do it. Especially if you're shy and quiet. You'll find out by your second birth, you aren't shy and quiet. You just need to get there. You need to get to that place. Call till there's nothing left. Leave everything on the table. Then at least you can tell the Lord, on my side, I diligently sought you. If there's any problem, it's on your side now. Just see what happens. I prayed like this, and I made breakthroughs with the Lord because I was being honest. I did everything. I kept the rules all week long. I did everything I was supposed to do because I wanted to touch the Lord, not because I'm a good person. Very far from it. I did it because I wanted to enjoy the Lord. And that's called diligently seeking. And I find out that if you diligently seek the Lord with your whole being, there's no shortage on his side.
Amen.
Then he sees the woman in the crowd. The woman in the crowd was a diligent seeker, and she got the reward. But we need a little extra help because we come thousands of years after that initial experience. So we have a lot of learning. We could say, oh, dear brother in Jerusalem, let me give you a message from Genesis to Revelation about calling on the name of the Lord. And they would say, thank you for your message. You're so dead. Let me show you how to call on the Lord. Okay, I mean it. One time, we invited a brother to come to do a retreat. And at the beginning, and I know this brother, and at the beginning of the retreat, he said, let's all call on the Lord 10 times. And I said, okay. And we all stood up and we called on the Lord 10 times. And this brother, I had been able to spend some time around him previously, but I hadn't been around him for a while. And, you know, he's not a very big person. He's smaller than I am. But he was next to me, and he was calling on the Lord, and I was calling on the Lord, and I just was like, oh, yeah, that's how you're supposed to call on the Lord. I mean, every part of his being was in it. He was an example of calling on the Lord. I just got the sense that he couldn't possibly call on the Lord in a routine way, because there just was no possibility for him to do it. He just wasn't that kind of person. And then later, in the cafeteria, he just said something to me. He said, you know, I'm worried about you all, that when you call on the Lord, you don't breathe out enough. And he said, you need to breathe out everything when you call on the Lord, so that there's nothing left. And he said, and we're in the cafeteria, and he said, you need to be like this. And everybody got real silent. Lord Jesus! And he was perfecting me to help me to realize sometimes you just need to get everything out. Breathe it out on the Lord so that you can breathe him in. And I'm so thankful for such a brother like that to be a pattern to me. Okay, so let's look now to Roman numeral 5. And trust me, that kind of thing doesn't suit my natural disposition. Like, I'm not that kind of person. Okay, so that's how you should know that these things are real. Like, I just don't care for that by my old birth. I would just rather be calm and quiet and by myself. But by my second birth, I like to be with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I just want to tell you that, because you might think, oh, well, that serving one, of course he likes all this stuff. But I'm just like you. Well, some of you, I'm like you. Okay, so Roman numeral 5 says, we need to exercise our entire being. especially our spirit,
Amen.
To call on the Lord.
Amen.
A says the simplest way to exercise the spirit is to call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The more I've gone on in the Christian life, the more I've realized, Lord, I don't know what to pray. I'm in this situation. Something's coming, and I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray about it. And if I try, I'm crippled, but I can always call on your dear name. And sometimes I'll just groan to the Lord, Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And then we'll just go for a walk, just walking in the Lord, calling on the Lord. And so I can say the simplest way to exercise the Spirit is to call on the name of the Lord. And the more you go on, the more fresh and new calling on the Lord becomes. You never graduate. It never gets old. So B says, in order to call on the name of the Lord, we need to exercise our entire being. This means that we need to exercise our spirit with our mind. So if your mind is wandering, you've got to exercise to the degree that you overcome your wandering mind. Right? My mind wandered so much when I was learning to exercise my spirit to touch the Lord that it became a hateful thing to me because I couldn't control it. So I had to do some drastic measures. I had to wait until I was in a situation with a lot of saints, and then my mind would wander, and I'd say, mind, you just keep wandering. I'm going to stand up and prophesy. I'm going to stand up and testify. And then, you know, it's kind of like disciplining a child. You got to follow through. If you don't follow through, then they'll never obey you. So the mind's like, doesn't believe you're going to do it because that's not who you are. And then boom, you just stand up. Hallelujah, saints. Jesus is the Spirit. He lives in me.
Amen.
You know, whatever. And the saints, of course, they all go, Amen. And your mind just stops wondering. And then you do it time after time. And then you're teaching your mind who is in charge of your vessel.
Amen.
It's not the old man. It's the new man.
Amen.
But you have to exercise your spirit to love the Lord with your whole mind. Then with your whole emotion. This morning, I had a problem in my emotion. I kind of was telling the Lord, I don't really want to be here. Well, I can't stay there because I got to share. Okay? So before I came to here to speak to you, I caused my emotion to be headed up by my spirit. To love the Lord.
Amen.
And as I was loving the Lord, I was loving being here with you all.
Amen.
So by the end of the morning revival time, I could genuinely say I'm happy to be here.
Amen.
Right? So you have to exercise your spirit to love the Lord with your whole emotion. Both of these things are motivated by your will. Then you have got to use your body to call on the name of the Lord. Okay, I thought of a couple good examples. In 1 Samuel 1:12-13, this is very poignant because I was walking around a lot during the morning time and I was just observing the saints, not to be critical, but just to observe. And I did see some saints where they're very quiet, but you could see in their face that they were like Hannah. It says, while Hannah continued praying for a long time before Jehovah, Eli watched her mouth. And Hannah was speaking in her heart only. Her heart, only her lips moved. So he couldn't hear any words. And so I saw some saints like this. So Eli thought she was drunk. Okay. So I saw some saints who looked drunk. And I saw some saints who didn't look drunk. They looked like they were... Yeah. They look like marble Marys. They were so peaceful. Just so... Fire! Fire, Lord! The house is on fire! Okay, then in 2 Samuel 6:14 is another example. It says, David was so happy for the return of the ark. He did two crazy things. One thing is he put on the ephod, which only the priest was allowed to wear. So David was so happy. He said, today I'm a priest. This is so good, I'm a priest. I'm going to wear the priest's ephod. Even though he knew, you know, you're not allowed to wear that. And when you do things that you're not allowed to do with the holy things in the tabernacle, God kills people. Like Nadab and Abihu got roasted for what they did. But David, He just somehow was so happy he put on the ephod. And there's a footnote that says that was like an honor to the Lord. To do something so non-religious but for the Lord's glory was an honor. And then the next thing it says, he danced with his whole might before Jehovah. So he's a really good example. Okay, morning revival is an exercise. Yeah. It never happens on accident.
Right. Yeah.
And exercise means exercise. It means force.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to force yourself to get revived. And the more you exercise, the stronger your spirit will become, and the less exercise will be required every time. But it's just that way, because we have the body of sin and death on us, and because it's a body of sin and death, its death is related to the spiritual matters. It never goes, yeah, I want to pray. Let's go pray. It says, no, I want to go watch YouTube. It never says, the body just never says, let's go to the meeting. The spirit says that, but the body is like, oh, I'm so comfortable. You know, it's like lounging on the couch, because in the matters related to spiritual things, it's a body of sin and death. So we have to exercise our spirit to love the Lord with our whole being.
Amen.
With our whole soul, our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole strength. And that involves exercising your spirit to use all the faculties of your being to touch the Lord.
Amen.
That's loving the Lord with your whole being. And then your spirit is your most genuine part, okay? So whatever you do related to spiritual matters, you've got to mean it, okay? I wish I had more time, but I'll tell you, you have to use your body, okay? This was my morning revival time. 28 minutes, 0.9 miles, 1,800 steps, 70 calories. Okay? When I started tracking my heart rate, I found out that every Responsible Brothers meeting for about 30 minutes, I get like exercise. My heart's up into the like exercise, because I never lean back when I'm praying. I'm never relaxed. When I pray, I'm up. My back is straight. I'm on the edge of my chair. I'm exercising my lungs, because I'm not saying amen, amen. I'm saying amen,
amen.
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 You know, when I pray, I exercise the whole time, because I hate doing anything fake. So when I pray, it's no accident that I touch the Lord. It's always deliberate, every time. And that's normal, okay? We shouldn't let opportunities pass to touch the Lord. We shouldn't come together with the saints and let an opportunity pass to touch the Lord. That is, I don't think the Lord likes that. I can't speak for him, but you just read about how he feels about his people doing things without their heart. He doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll be done. Do we have any? I think we have time for some testimonies if we have some microphones. How about we pray two by two, and then we can have some overflow.
Yeah.